So do you have a compliment for me? Now what I want us to focus on is this. We talked about caring. We talked about giving compliments. What are some of the unconscious ways that you and I can develop rapport with people? What are some of the ways that we can make sure we connect with them right away, even before we open our mouth possibly, or as soon as we open our mouth, but not because of what we're saying, but how we're using our voice? There's been a great deal of research done in the last 10 years about what makes people connect, what makes them immediately feel that connection, where you walk in a room and immediately see somebody and, wow, you feel like you know them. Instead of just coming from the place of saying, well, that's really wonderful, one of the questions that I've asked and other researchers have asked is, what causes that to happen? What's making that occur? And by studying that, we've made some distinctions in ways that you can apply yourself so that people non-verbally feel like they like you before you even begin to speak. Now, the best way to share this information with you is to point out something, and that is you're already good at rapport building, aren't you? So what am I going to teach you? Well, probably nothing. What I'm going to do, though, is remind you of some things and then maybe show you how to do things you're already doing but you're not probably consciously aware of. In other words, things that you're doing when you're at your best, but you're not conscious of them. By being conscious of them and maybe giving them a label, you now can say, ah, oh, that's what I was doing. That's what made that connection happen, and you'll be able to do it more often. So how do you already develop rapport? What is it you already do? Now, again, you may not get rapport with everyone, and that's one of the things we want to do here. We want to literally get where you can get rapport with anyone you're committed to having rapport with, literally anyone, even the person who gave you lots of trouble in the past. But the people you do get rapport with, how do you do that? What if I sent you right now and I said, I'd like you to go out, go to the nearest restaurant, meet somebody and develop rapport? Could you do it? Of course you could. How would you go about doing it? Answer, well, you'd probably go out, meet somebody and start a conversation. And in that conversation, you probably ask some questions. Questions like what? What are the kind of questions that you ask? You tell me. Think. What are the questions you do to start a conversation and get some rapport? Tell me out loud.
What are you doing for a living?
What do you do for a living? What else?
Where are you from?
Where are you from? What else?
What sports do you like?
What sports do you like? What else?
Tell me about your hobbies.
What are some of your hobbies? Tell me about some. What else?
How's your day going?
How's your day going? Right. What's your sign? No, 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 no. That's not one you want to use, right? The point is, you ask all these questions. Now, is it possible to ask all these questions and still not get rapport? Is that possible? Oh, sure it is. We've all had the experience where we had a conversation, and it was going, going, going. We kept asking questions, and nothing happened. Finally, it felt like conversation went thump. You've had that, haven't you? So questions by themselves are not enough. What you really need besides questions are, and the purpose of the questions, is that you find something in what? Yeah, you got to find something in common. That's what creates rapport, is not the questions. The question is like a tool to dig with. You're digging around with questions to see if you can find something in common, and then all of a sudden, bam, there's that rapport. You go, oh, you play that sport? I play it too. Oh, you belong to that club? So do I. Oh, you grew up there? I know somebody there. And whap, all of a sudden there's this energy exchange. All of a sudden there's this what? Connection with that person. We've all felt it, and we've all had that experience. The question then is it questions that does it, or is it getting things in common? And the answer is it's getting things in common. So one of the things I try to look for is to help people learn ways to create things in common in advance. In other words, things that people would immediately see and do. A classic example, if you're going to call on somebody in IBM, you're probably not going to wear tennis shoes and a pair of shorts, right? You're going to wear the appropriate uniform. You want to have them feel like you were like them. A banker has a certain way of dressing. Those are the obvious ones. But let's go a step beyond. Let's take everything that I think has ever been written about rapport and put it into two very simplistic sentences that we'll never forget to remind ourselves why we're in rapport if we are, how to get in rapport if we're not, and why we're out of rapport if we are out of rapport. And I've taken everything that I've read, all the stuff about unconscious influence, and as well as some of the simplistic things, and here are the two phrases we can anchor these ideas down with. Idea number one is very simply this. People like people who are like them. In other words, when people are like each other, they tend to what? Like each other. How's that for major breakthrough information? But it's true. Now, don't buy my theory. Don't buy anything I'm saying. Don't become a follower. You go try this stuff and you decide whether it's true or not. But for a moment, think. Think of somebody you really, really like a lot. And as you think of this person, answer this question. Do you like them because they're like you or because they're like how you want to be? Here's the second phrase to anchor these ideas down with. Real simple phrase. When people are not like each other, when people are not like each other, they tend not to like each other. That's a pretty important thing to remember. Now you say, well, that's not true. Well, think of somebody you really don't like. I know you like everyone, but if there once was a human you didn't like, Think of that person. And now answer this question. Is it that this person is not like you or not like how you want to be? Am I suggesting that this means that if you're different than somebody else that you can't have rapport? Absolutely not. What I'm suggesting is this, that the more differences a person feels they have between you and themselves, the less rapport you will have. As long as we see the similarities as human beings, the more rapport that we have. So it's real important to see similarities so that you can care about people and so you can connect with people. And it's also very important that you create those similarities up front, because it's unfortunate. In selling, a lot of negative anchors have been created to this profession. It's a profession that if you went out of our economy, the economy would shut down. I mean, think about it. Nothing in this whole world happens until somebody sells something. You can have the greatest idea in the world, but it's worthless unless you can persuade someone of its value and to do something with it. You know, think about some of the great people in our country who've come up with the greatest ideas and died, and their ideas only came out later on. You know, think of Van Gogh. Here's a man who sold, what, one painting in his lifetime? And now he's got paintings, I think, selling for like $50 million. He wasn't a very good marketer, but the people since him have been great marketers. Right? The bottom line is nothing in this country happens unless you're in the economy making it happen by getting people to make decisions, make choices, go for wants, and make things happen. You're in the most important part of our whole economy, and yet, unfortunately, because of a few people who were callous and who don't care and try to manipulate and use that as their primary tool of influence, this profession, oftentimes in people's minds, is maligned. So it's your job to change the feeling of the profession and show what a professional persuader is. And one way to do that is to connect with people and destroy all the old associations, all the old anchors they have to selling. Because most people don't want to be sold because they feel like that's manipulation. And I should mention something here. You are a manipulator. I hope you're a manipulator. And that may sound pretty harsh, but you got to understand that the same techniques that a Jim Jones or a Hitler used, John F. Kennedy used. So did Martin Luther King. So did Gandhi. The key here is they were all manipulators. They all manipulated our emotions. Ronald Reagan was a good manipulator. Some of you say, well, maybe he wasn't such a good manipulator. Some of you go, he was a great manipulator. The bottom line is the difference is someone's intent. See, does the mother manipulate the child? I hope so. Too many children manipulate their mothers and as a result don't get the values that give them a foundation to make decisions for in their life. Does the teacher manipulate the student? I hope so. Too many students manipulate teachers today, in my opinion. So I don't think manipulation is bad. I think the key is intent. The only difference between a salesman and a con man is intent. How are you going to use something? Everything I've taught you, you can use to abuse people. It will come back to haunt you. So what you've got to do is interrupt those patterns. Block that out. And you got to know that sometimes walking in, by the way you move, people judge you. Isn't that true? If you move fast and they move slow, you're different. If you talk fast and they talk slow, or you talk slow and they talk fast, you're different. Certain language you use, certain gestures you use. People have associations in the past of what people like that are. And so you know what they do? They don't get to hear your message. So what you've got to do is you've got to break through that by connecting. And the way to do that is through a process we call matching and mirroring.